I'm saying stop being a bitch. You know, like, don't be a wuss, man up, do this. That doesn't work for me. What works for me is to just relax all pressure and not care. I kind of just distract myself and tell myself, like, I'm fine. Like, everything that's going on right now is totally fine.
Everything's okay.
Everything's great.
Right.
You know, and from that place, I can learn and I'm fine talking to anyone. Whereas if I'm really hard on myself, I'm just adding more pressure and I don't do well under pressure. So
figure out
what works for you personally.
Find your own Achilles heel and use it against your ego. And use it to help you learn.
Yeah.
You know? Use it to motivate yourself.
Can we open up
something? Yeah, totally.
Those calls, normally when you're on your
phone, is that too much?
I don't know.
They usually take place at 5 Eastern time, but that would be like 11 or 12 here. Yeah,
that's doable.
I can try and make them. We have guys in like all different countries right now, so it's really impossible to hit everyone at the same time. I'm gonna try alternating times and maybe hitting different people at different calls. But anytime you miss one, you can download it later.
It's always a good option.
Yeah, and if you want to email me a question or something, I can address it on the call, and then you just get it later. You know.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah. So like, hey, I can't make the call, but I wanted to ask you this. And I'll talk about it for a few minutes.
Yeah,
so
and
you can
the next day you download it. And
yeah.
Answer.
And I have all your emails. So.
If anybody wants, I know Alberto already decided to do this. If anyone else wants to come to the, if you like, just decide all of a sudden that you want to join us in the Amsterdam program too, just let us know. Alberto got, I think you got a deal for it. I don't know what kind of deal you got, so I don't want to mention anything. But I'm sure that Adam would be willing to cut you guys a deal if you did want to go to another one. Just to kind of continue and get another weekend in before we head out of Europe. That's just an option. If you do want to do that, then let Connor know really quickly, like soon, because as soon
now.
As... Yeah, like now would probably be a good time to do it if you do. Or at least by the time we're done here, right? By the time we're finished here.
I'll have to get in touch with Adam and make sure there's still spots.
Oh, I know that one's
but I think there's one or two.
Okay, that's a bit much bigger program than this one.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I guess Amsterdam. Maybe that's why.
Amsterdam. Yeah.
Okay, you guys want to go ahead and wrap the questions? We can start with you, Lloyd.
Because I have a long road.
Oh, you got a long drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Morning, so.
Okay.
Okay. For example, I remember, of course, the first day when you told me. You are not that Alberto is not like that with that shirt and so of course not, I also don't feel well like that but the problem was just you said in one video how to dress you said don't try to look younger so if you are older so try to be more classy and that's what I tried
that's good you went from classic to professional. Right now it looks fine because you have jeans on, you know, but your shirt's tucked in. I probably wouldn't tuck my shirt in like that because I don't like doing that. Like, this shirt here is tucked in. Like, I don't like doing any of those things. You know, just not who I am, you know? What I like to do is if you're gonna dress with, like, a button-up shirt, then pretty much everything else that you wear should be casual, is what I mean. It shouldn't be professional-looking. You don't want to be a whole package together as one thing. You know what I mean? You want to be, like, different things so that no one can really tell. Like, halfway in between lots of stuff.
And because you said that thing about 40 and 50% and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to do that.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, that makes sense. But the first day that you were here, you were all business looking. You know? You looked all professional. Like, this looks a lot better. Like, you look a lot more casual. And you just look like you're... dressed up pretty nicely, but not like not overdressed like you're going to an interview. You know what I mean? So the jeans, are those jeans? They are, right?
Yeah.
The jeans definitely helped a lot with that process. Like, if you had slacks on right now and, like, shiny shoes or something, I'd be like, okay, this is over. You're overdressing. Every little tiny thing that you have like that changes your persona. But at the end of the day, try a bunch of shit. You know, try a lot of combinations of things until you find something that really makes you feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's about how you feel and what you're wearing. Because if you don't like what you're wearing, well, it's always uncomfortable to wear some stuff that's new always, especially if it draws attention to you. But you have to get comfortable in what you're wearing, otherwise it'll wear you instead of you wearing it. You know what I mean? Your clothes kind of wear you. That's a weird way of saying it, but it ends up so that kind of what I'm getting at there is that you're putting clothes on that you're hoping will replace your personality, not enhance it, not like highlight it, you know? So instead of thinking like that, yeah, you want to make sure that you wear something that's an accent of who you are. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if any of the clothes that you're wearing right now are like indicate where you came from and who you were when you were younger, like when you were much younger, like growing up, or if any of them are an indication of how your kind of heroes dress or what they wear, like your people that you look up to. And then I don't know if it's an indication of, you know, how you see yourself in the future either. You know, if in the future you see yourself as like being happy, being a like totally zenned out guy where you're like meditating and shit, then you know, you'll wear a shirt that's like white linen or something, you know? And like this here is like a red thermal shirt. I had a shirt like this when I was a little boy. You know, these Argyle socks are like, I started wearing these whenever I started reading The Modern Gentleman, which was one of my heroes wrote that book, you know, when I was younger. And jeans are just, I don't know, they're just jeans, I guess. I don't have to wash them as often, so I wear a lot, you know? And I right now, like, this is just kind of what's left over, by the way, for me. But again, I'm not on the same plane, really, as I'm not thinking like you guys are right now, where you're thinking about how to master society and master this kind of world. Like, you guys are working on mastering this world right now, which is something I already did. So I'm not thinking about that at all. So my dress could be entirely different now. It could be breaking all the rules that I tell you, basically, because I don't want the same things that you guys do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
So
don't look to me as
sort of
like a...
Should fit to the situation. So if it's work or conference or if it's going out...
Yeah, but never ever make it all one thing. Like, if you're going to work, do all work stuff, but like not shiny shoes. Maybe something else, you know? Or like work... Can you wear whatever you want to work as long as it's like
a
button-up?
Yeah.
Well, then that's perfect. I would wear something like that. Like we can wear jeans to work, so wear jeans, you know? But everything else is all professional, but your jeans are, you know, nice jeans, but they're just jeans, you know? Also, you have to consider that your haircut is also, like, something that you're wearing, kind of like a permanent piece of clothing. And jackets change everything. When I put my jacket on, it changes the way this whole thing looks, you know? Scarves, things like that as well. If you had tattoos, that would be something that would change, you know? That would change your persona as well. So you just have to keep that in mind, you know? Like, if Connor now could wear a full top-to-bottom suit with, like, you know, a tie and a vest and a suit jacket and suit pants and shiny shoes because he's got knuckle tattoos and he's scruffy, right? So it's that sort of contrast that is what you're looking for. The small contrast, just the tiny bit of contrast, you know? Against everything else that you're wearing. So if Connor wore like a, you know, like biker pants and like was scruffy and then showed his tattoos and didn't wear a button-up shirt, wore like a tattered T-shirt, you know, and then sneakers, then it probably wouldn't look as good because then he's all saying the same thing with his style, you know. And instead, you want to have a little bit of a mixture in there.
I think there's a few other good ways to do that. If you have like clothes that are kind of all one shade. Have one thing that you're wearing that's a really bright color. Just one thing.
Yeah.
This is an ex-girlfriend taught me this, actually. Girls notice this shit, by the way. They really do.
I do socks usually. Like,
I'll have, yeah, you could have brightly colored socks, and maybe when you're like, when your feet get, or your pants get pulled up, you can barely see it. Or like, I had an undershirt on the other night. It was like this bright pinkish red, but you can only see just the very bit of it. Or if you wear a tie, it could be like a really colorful tie, and everything else is the same color. Just like one thing that pops out. Girls really notice that. It draws the eye and it shows that you have good taste and that you're a little bit different in a cool way.
Talking about ties, I would typically stick with ties that are one color without a whole lot of stuff on them. Because busy ties don't look very good. Like I have like four or five ties that I wear. That one's solid white silk, you know, one's solid blue, one's solid purple.
It's tough to pull that off. I've seen like really stylish guys do it, but it's like complicated the way that they put it together.
Yeah, it can be.
It's risky.
Yeah. Well, it ties it all. Any kind of tie is, you know.
Yeah.
So, but either way, I just wanted to mention that. Also,
yeah.
How you tie the knot is important. I do a full Windsor knot, which is like a classic tie knot, but not many people know how to do a full Windsor. You know, if I were to wear a tie, that's what I would
that's
do.
That's the fatter one, right?
That's the fatter one. Yeah.
That's what you see all like sports casters and announcers have.
Yeah.
It just is more powerful looking.
Yeah. And then there's another one called the four in hand knot, and that's like a really fast one that a lot of people know how to do because it's easy.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's like lopsided almost. It's like a angle on one side and straight on the other side,
mm-hmm.
like that. And there's another one that's a half Windsor, which is kind of like a thinner Windsor knot instead of a fat Windsor knot. You know, you can study those. They're pretty simple to learn.
Yeah.
You can YouTube video it, you know.
It's, I would get, if you want to change your style, you could just get a subscription to like GQ magazine or Esquire. It's $10 for a year, and then you can just flip through that and be like, "Oh, I kind of like that or like that," and you can see like what looks good.
Don't buy clothes that will make you feel safe. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, but you already have enough safe clothes. Buy clothes that like, you know, that would make you stand out a little bit. You know, and like choose your jackets very wisely. If you're gonna get a jacket, like any of your jackets that are like comfort jackets, just fucking take them out of your closet and throw them away. Don't leave them in your closet. Like, give them away to someone else or, like, donate them or something. Don't leave stuff in your closet that isn't work for you, you know? Every piece of clothing that you wear is a deliberate piece of clothes. You're not just putting clothes on and that's it. And if you don't like to think about getting dressed, which I don't like to think about getting dressed at all, I like to just whatever is there and is clean or pretty much clean, I'll put on, you know? So I have everything that I have is like that. Everything is... It's something that no matter what I wear it with, it's fine. And I'll never wear all one color, ever. Ever. If I like have blue jeans on, I typically won't wear a blue shirt. It's because I don't like to be unicolored like that. I don't know why, that just really bothers me. So that's just me. I don't know about anybody else. But I know that most people who have really good style, or Jason style, they don't have all one color, they have complementary colors, you know. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, we could probably talk for style. On style for
well, they
days,
have,
but
they have
you got a
what to say
good resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an add-on to What to Say. It's called the Fashion Formula, which is a lot of what he's talking about right now. Helps you put together your own.
That's book. What you were talking about. What were you talking about
yeah.
earlier?
Yeah, you saw like the video of that, I guess. But yeah. And
then so till next week, what would be like a homework? So that because I reached the step of. So to interact with attraction, and so what did I do? So?
Easiest thing for you to do is, I would say, alternate every other day. One day, do an hour of day game. So you have to take time, whatever that time is, you need to take an hour during the daytime to go specifically to do day game by yourself, you know? And then... every other day, then the opposite day, you do a couple hours of night game, you know? And, like, actually, you know what? Do 2 hours of day game if you can. I'm not sure how your work is. Can you take 2 hours in the middle of the day at some point, like, to go somewhere and do something? Then 2 hours. 2 hours on one day for day game, and then 2 hours at nighttime. Even if you just go to a bar and sit there by yourself, it doesn't matter, you know? Go in, bar walk for a while, and then jump. You know, or go in and bar walk for a while, then leave. I don't care. You know, go to another place and do it there too. But just, you have 2 hours specifically designed to do that, and alternate every day. You can take Sunday off if you want to, maybe even Monday off. You know, no, just Sunday. Sorry, it's only going to be.
He's going to be with us.
You're going to be with us. Yeah. So never mind. It's going to be just until the weekend, right? Yeah. So that'll mean that Monday day game, Tuesday go out at night, Wednesday day game, Thursday go out at night, right? And you'll come here, and Friday you'll have day game, and you'll go out at night. Saturday day game, and at night, you know, and at night as well. So,
I go there without goals, so just to interact.
Yeah, just interact. That's all you're doing.
Because the problem was I didn't know on which stage I was, so I didn't know. Okay, now I.
But now you do.
Now
we
do.
Yeah.
Now I know, yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you can if you want to pick up chicks, dude. I mean, do whatever you want to. Just push yourself. Whatever it is, go there and work on something, you know, like...
No,
like
I was really feeling free doing it, and I didn't even want to go further.
Yeah.
I was so satisfied, because I said, oh, I could manipulate myself, but I never thought it would be possible or change, really. And I was happy with it. I was somehow proud a little bit. And then I also was just very interested in observing and seeing all those mistakes and good things and seeing why they have success, why they don't have.
Right.
And for me it was okay. And then I just thought, okay, but I want them to go the next step, but not immediately. I don't even want to try it.
Right.
I was satisfied simply, and that's why I make an effort, financial effort also, to go to Amsterdam and do it like that.
Yeah.
I think otherwise
you'll be fine either way, because you already made your decision to continue.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, if you stop halfway, you'll start to get depressed, so you have to keep going out to stay up until you get done.
With daygame.com, so after those 2 days in London, for me it was just one day, because I came later and I had to leave later because of the plane, and but I never did it again. It was finished for me. So
right.
After that, so everything was lost.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, this is really up to you. You know, your follow up. It's not up to us. It's up to you. You know, playing these games and stuff. You have to motivate yourself to do that. So. You know, it's, I guess what I'm trying to say by telling you that is that no matter what happens, I'm making up that game for you. You could just as easily make up your own game to do, you know. You have to be interested in making that up yourself. You know, I just said, okay, here's an example of something you can do, but if you want to do something more, then do it. If you want to go out and buy a dozen roses and start handing them out during day game, do it, you know. Push yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. The word is further, further, go further, continue, you know. Keep going, always. If you're not there, if you're not totally satisfied with everything in your life, then you must go further. Does that make sense?
Cool.
Yeah, of course. Looking forward to seeing you next weekend, too. Okay.
You better be a total rock star by next week.
Yeah. You better be coaching. You can teach me class. Stand next to us and just teach the whole thing in German.
Dutch.
Yeah,
Dutch is the main
language.
Oh, yeah.
Dutch
one. No,
I don't speak Dutch.
If I don't get lost in the coffee shop, then I completely.
So.
In the coffee shop.
So, in the Amsterdam coffee shop?
Yeah, the brick coffee.
Did you already get your questions out, or do you have any other ones?
Yeah, I think we're good for now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I figured you're probably questioned out anyway.
My only question is who could play surf food?
Do that? That'd be cool.
Don't know. We can go check.
I
definitely serve drinks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can drink your calories.
I'm going to get like a bottle of wine or something.
I have to
yeah.
pack some shit for this transnational bus at some point.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're just, it'll be very chill. We'll roll
yeah.
out here in a bit.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
It's not like a field night or anything.
No,
you just want to relax.
Have to do anything.
Shisha bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like shisha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hey, one over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's one right here.
Cool.
Renee, do you have any questions that you wanted to mention?
Not
right now. And again, if we're hanging out later and you want to ask,
yeah, that's almost
yeah.
every time when I'm going to a room or outside. Oh, damn, I must ask that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, no worries. Jacob.
Yeah, the thing that I struggle with the most is rapport. I can't get my head around the techniques and rapport.
Okay, so forget all the techniques and rapport then. Because the trying to remember techniques in rapport can be complicated. That's a guide. If it works for you, then awesome. But if it doesn't, then just forget it altogether. Okay? So whenever it comes time for rapport, all you have to do is share shit about yourself that you don't like sharing. You know what I mean? That's pretty straightforward. And it can be positive. It's just really personal, you know? Do you know the most embarrassing story of your life, like the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
I don't know.
Okay, it should be on the top of your head.
Alright.
Always, that story, because that's a story that you would not want to tell. Bless you. And so that's a story that you must tell. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Once you start telling the story and people start laughing and like thinking that it's okay and cool and you're funny for telling the story, then you won't have to worry about anybody not accepting you or you know, rejecting you for anything, because it just won't happen. You won't be afraid of that anymore. Because really what you're afraid of is that you're going to start talking and telling something personal, and she's gonna like laugh at you or think you're stupid, or you know what I mean? Like, that's every guy's fear, is that he's gonna be rejected at that moment. So we tend to ignore that stage and not go through it. You know, there's a lot of stuff about
no,
here.
I have the feeling that if I'm going to report it, I'll lose the attraction.
You do. But attraction morphs into rapport. It's you have to let go. You can't hang on to the attraction.
And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're hanging on to it, bringing it in. You can't. You have to let it go to go in.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it doesn't mean she stops being attracted to you. It just
no,
means
it just
you're
means
shifting.
You stop doing attraction
yeah.
altogether.
Yeah.
You have to let go of it anyway, though. I mean, you don't keep trying to build it up. If you do, then you lose it. You lose everything.
I mean, does that mean you are ruining the rapport? If, you know, during the rapport, you being funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what that means.
So in rapport, when you're sharing like serious emotional things, and maybe she's opening up to you and telling you something, just like you might be telling her something that you don't want to, like something that's a little bit more personal. If you're funny or you banter in that point, you're gonna it's rude. You're gonna reject her.
Yeah, that's
gonna feel like
tell a personal story, you know, in a humorous way. Because
oh, that's different.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different to as long as there's emotion in what you're doing, then you're fine. If there's no emotion in what you're doing, meaning that you're bantering, which is no content whatsoever, then it's not fine. That's not good.
So as long as there's content and it's a true story of some kind that you can emotionally and personally relate to, you
yes.
can see the humor side of it, then it's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're doing it to make her laugh, then that's wrong already. You're already doing it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, she could be laughing.
She could be, but you're not doing it
you're
for
not
that.
Doing it
intention
right.
is very important. Intention is the most important thing. I'm trying to figure out what the hell this is. It's a mystery.
What?
The
oh,
noise.
That noise.
The noise. Anyway.
It's a crack. You're about to fall through.
I know. I fall into a really nice little seating area.
Yeah.
I do. It's very pretty down there.
It's the shisha bar down there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to fall right down at the
yeah.
table. Is there anything else, Jake?
Yeah. I was, yesterday, I just kept leaving all the groups I was talking to as soon as it started to fizzle out. Should I just say, hey, I'm coming back, or should I just walk away, or what's the best?
You know, I got to a point where I was doing that too, and the thing that you have to do is stay there.
Yeah.
Like, keep staying there.
Just say nothing.
That's okay. That's all you can do. You stay there, because you're never gonna be able to push past it unless you force yourself to stay there. So, maybe the first couple times you do this, which is something that I did, I'd stand there, I'd be like, blah, 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 and be chatting, and all of a sudden I'd run out of shit to say, and then I'd be like,
you're just waiting for someone to talk.
I'd just be like, okay, well, I'm gonna get blown out anyway, so I have to sit here, you know? And then eventually they'd be like, okay, see you later. And I was like, oh, you going somewhere? And they're like, no, you're leaving. I'm like, no, I'm not, I'm fine. And they're like, no, you're leaving. Like, I'd force them to reject me, you know, to push me away. Because I need to know that I can't just sit there or run away every time. We used to call that premature ejaculation, which is like you start to get a little bit uncomfortable, and so you split. You know, that way you can never get rejected, so you eject instead of getting rejected. You know, but you don't want to do that. You want to stay in until you have to leave. You know,
but then I have to stay with every group till they reject me.
If that's a fear of yours, you know what I mean. If you can't sit there and stay anyway.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm like, I get bored too, and I want to talk to other people.
But yeah,
oh.
but your emotions are being controlled by a thousand things. You know,
yeah.
probably insecurity is another one. You know,
sure.
but you don't want to be owned by that. You want to be able to control that. So if you how do I put this? Like, what's the best way to explain this? If you ever want to get over that, then you have to stop thinking like this, basically. You know, you have to be able to make a choice. Do I stay or do I leave? You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If the answer is leave, you have to have a good reason. It's not like you just leave because it's fizzling out, you know?
Not because I want to talk to other people.
That doesn't matter. That's just a... Why
if
not?
If I'm not interested in them.
Yeah, of course you are. It's only fizzling out because you don't know what you're doing.
No,
right
but
now.
I'm talking to so many people in a club. I just walk up to everybody.
Yeah,
start.
But that's not what you're asking right now. You're not asking about that. You're turning it into something that's okay for you to leave now. That's what you're doing.
No, but I'm talking to this chick and she's like, 35, and I'm having fun, but I'm looking at the hot chick or a cute girl over there, and I want to talk to her,
so
I stand with her.
So what's the point then? I don't understand. Why would you push things forward with somebody you don't want to hook up with?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? What I'm talking about is you're talking to somebody, and you, again, if you're bantering with somebody, and you're in a conversation with her, and you're escalating, and you don't want her, that's fine. But as soon as you get to the point past qualifying, you have to choose somebody.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, but before that, you don't choose anybody at all. So it doesn't matter if you stay there. Does that make sense? If she starts trying to build rapport with you, then you might have an issue where you want to leave. You know what I mean? But if rapport isn't happening, then you can stay and hang out as long as you need to. But you don't want to have an impulse to leave. Like, you don't want to leave just because. You need to be able to control everything in your decisions. If you're just doing stuff to do it because you don't know what else to do, then you're owned by that, you know, and you have to overcome that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I think it's just that if you're talking to someone you're not interested, then there's no, like, your question isn't really, like, related to that.
Yeah.
You're asking, like, I'm talking to someone I'm interested in, and then it starts to fizzle out. Like, should I leave? And he's saying, no, you should stay and push further.
Okay.
This is assuming, like, you're talking to someone who you're interested in.
Right.
Like, you,
that's really the question.
Yeah.
But the answer wasn't what you wanted to hear, so you just turned it into a question where the answer
was
different.
Yeah. Like, you're talking
okay.
to someone, you're interested in her.
Yeah.
Like, at least be honest. Like, okay, I want this girl. Don't leave because you ran out of shit to say.
Yeah.
Like, push yourself through that. That's just, like, a wall that you have to push through. Usually when in doubt, you should just qualify and try and shift into rapport, just like you did the other night. You took that girl by the hand and just walked somewhere. Like, assume that everything is going to go down that path.
Maybe that's not the excuse of mine, but yesterday I was trying to get as many conversations as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried. I was leaving all the time.
Okay.
And some of them was fizzling out.
Okay.
Some I was leaving all the time. Mm-hmm. Is that good for improvement, or should I just stay?
Well, it's good for improvement if that's what you're trying to improve on. But if you already proved yourself you can do that, then skip it, you know? Next.
Yeah.
Next, you know?
Yeah.
Continue. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
As soon as you think you're good enough, then you're screwed. You know? That's how it is.
Do you do the qualifying question, if you have to pop a question if she doesn't qualify herself, do you do that before you move away to report?
Yeah, usually.
So you do it at the same place where you're bantering?
Yeah, usually.
I mean, that's kind of different at a place like yesterday. It was overcrowded. You couldn't hear anybody speaking.
Yeah, that's true. Well, then maybe in that case, you don't qualify unless you need to. Skip it if you can't get anything else.
Sometimes it's not even as complicated as, like, taking her and going across the room somewhere. Sometimes you can just, like, turn her that way so that she's not really a part of, like, her friends anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it could be, like, isolating could be as easy as there's two girls and they're talking to each other, and then you just turn her this way so that they're not looking at each other anymore.
That's isolating.
It's like,
and you can go into rapport.
Yeah. Isolating is just you need to go into rapport, and she's not going to feel comfortable doing that in front of her friends or, like, with the same people she came with. And it's ideal if you can go somewhere more quiet or somewhere else, like out in the smoking area. But in order, like, the purpose is just to separate her somehow. So you can separate her just by, like, having your friend talk to her friend, and then you, like, exactly what you two were doing with those two girls. They were right next to each other, like 10 feet away, but you were both isolated with each of the girls. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be, like, across the room or something like that. That's exactly what you already did. I just remembered that.
Now I was thinking of the case last night where this Danish girl, you know, talking to me and pulling me every time. So there came a point about 1 o'clock or something where was overcrowded, and I was standing, you know, like this, because there were people knocking me everywhere else and stuff. So I, you know, she pulled me in, and I said, okay, I need to take her out there so I can disqualify her.
Mm-hmm.
She's pulling me in all the time, so there must be something. Why would you pull me in? We were having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her by that, and said, let's go out there for 5 minutes. And she said, no, I might be here. Fine, you know. So yeah, I can't hear you.
That just means you need more traction.
Okay, it just means I need more traction.
Yeah. Like, you went to go for it, and she resisted, so you just switch back to banter and traction, try again.
Okay, I should have.
I'm
on it a little longer.
I have to go.
I have to go.
Okay. Okay, you gotta go.
Yeah, because
okay.
Sure. It's good to see you. We'll see you next
week.
I'll
see you next week.
All right,
brother. Great meeting you, man.
Do you guys have any more questions?
Yeah,
like, do you want to keep talking? No? Anyone else?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's chill for a second. I have this room tonight, so it's cool. I don't have to check out or anything. You guys are tired?
Yeah.
I'm pretty exhausted today. You glad you stayed out?
Yeah.
Push through it?
Mm-hmm. How long did you stay?
Until like 3:30, I think. I don't know. I didn't realize how late those places stay open.
Until 6 or so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I left at a time where I was exhausted, and I usually would leave, and there were still
people
coming in, like they were just getting started, you know? Crazy.
I left around the same time as you.
Oh, man. It's fun, though. It's really fun to get there earlier when it's easier to walk around and talk to people. Because when it gets really crowded and all the girls are like, oh, there's all these creepy guys all over the place. And then they see you and they're like, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you came back.
Yeah,
you're like the safe guy that they already know. And all these other guys are coming in being creepy. And they'll just run back to you. Like, they'll remember how much fun they were having with you.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks to Jacob, we managed to pick the right place.
Great recommendation on that.
Would have been a real disaster.
Are you going to go back there a lot?
Yeah. I've been there like 20 times.
It's awesome.
I met some people from the U.S. and they were like, Kulturbrig is pretty good, actually.
Which one?
Kulturbrig.
Oh, they said that?
But I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
It was funny, I was talking English with them, and they didn't realize that I wasn't from the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have a huge accent.
I don't know why.
They just didn't know? Whatever. Americans are stupid.
Seems like.
Oh, man, I have so many notes from this weekend. I'm going to go back home.
If I asked you, what would you recommend my timetable should be for the next 2 weeks? Couple of points that you
say. I mean, same thing that we were saying when we answered his question. Like, pick one or two things that you're working on right now. You were a lot better with the body language and like the not holding your drink and looking around. You're still looking around a lot last night.
Shocking.
But just pick one or two things like that, specific things that you can really work on and master and focus on. How you're walking, how your body language is. Negative body language is huge. For everyone. That's still something I always focus on back in my mind because it's crazy how much attraction that builds. Banter, whatever it is that you feel like you're not good at right now. If you're working on banter, write down 3 banter lines and put them in your pocket and use them, you know. Practice the bar walk. Just like we walked around last night and we're opening up groups of people, things like that you kind of start with, and then once you master, everything that comes after that becomes easier and easier and easier and easier. It all kind of builds on itself, like you lay a foundation and then keep building and building. Pick one or two things like that, and when you go out, that's all you're doing, you know? You go out, you're walking around the bar, you're just doing drive-bys, you know, you're just doing compliments, you're just doing banter with everyone. And when you feel like, okay, I got this, I'm getting good at that, immediately move on to the next step, the next thing. Okay, I'm really good at banter now. Now I'm going to work on qualifying. I'm going to go up, I'm going to banter with everyone, I'm going to qualify every girl. I don't know if you guys realize this, it took me a while to realize this, but the whole phase of attraction, of like introduction, demonstrating that you're high value, and then qualifying, that can happen in 30 seconds. It doesn't take a long time when you do it right. It's really fast. It really is like a couple of sentences of banter, and it's all happening in the body language, which really is read instantaneously almost. But you can start, if you feel like you're getting good at banter, start walking up to girls, banter like for just a few seconds, and then qualify. It almost feels like you're walking. It almost feels like you're walking right up to the girl and qualifying her on the spot.
Yeah, that's what I thought happened to us yesterday with the American chicks, because
yeah.
I think, you know, they qualified themselves. They were
perfect.
I mean,
yeah, sometimes you don't have to.
They dragged me into rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And she got pretty deep, and then I kept turning my body even more away from her.
Uh-huh.
The more she turned towards me, the more I kept looking at other chicks go by.
Well, yeah,
and
I know.
She kept getting my attention.
Yeah, so I know.
My attention.
I know you said you were uncomfortable because she was, like, engaged, right? Or
well, married. She, I mean, you know, I asked her
what
she's doing, and she said she's getting married in December,
yeah.
My boyfriend's coming over, and all
but
this
like,
that. You know,
assuming that she was single, you know, or honestly, you probably still could have hooked up with her, but that's, like, your call.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the fact that she was leaving
like,
today to go further away, I said, nobody's getting a phone number.
But
I use the occasion to deploy all that stuff.
Every time you're in some situation, just ask yourself, okay, what would be next? And push towards that. If you screw it up, that's all right. You just do it again.
Yeah.
So you're into rapport after 30 seconds?
You could be.
I would say
I mean,
2 minutes that level.
Yeah,
amazing.
Sometimes every girl's different, you know, and you'll start to see different types of girls the more... The more people you approach, this is why it's important to go out a lot and approach a lot of people, because you start to see patterns. You start to see, like, okay, I've talked to this kind of girl. I know what's going to happen. I've talked to this kind of girl. And every now and then you'll meet a new kind of girl and you'll be like, shit, this girl's different. What do I do here? And you only learn that by meeting a lot of people and seeing the patterns and pretty much fucking it up every time. Like, I've only learned things by screwing it up a lot and then... I've only really thought and improved on the things I screwed up on, because then I'll come home and be like, what happened? And I'll write shit down and I'll be like trying to break down what went wrong. And that's when you like learn and level up. But yeah, don't try and do everything at once, because you'll happen a lot slower that way and you'll be really hard on yourself. One thing that's really important for me, I think will be really important for a lot of you guys, is to... recognize every time you're making an excuse in your head or saying anything negative about yourself. It's really important, because as you go forward, you are going to be screwing up a lot. And if you see that as negative every time it happens, you'll start to associate really bad feelings with going out. And you won't want to do it anymore. You stop. You know, you have to associate positive emotions with this entire process. Because it's just like going to the gym and working out. If you hate doing it, you won't do it, and you'll stop. You can make yourself do it by willpower for a little bit, but if you really hate it deep down, you'll stop doing it after a while. You know, this is why no one sticks to their New Year's resolution, you know? It's why nobody sticks to a workout plan if they don't really enjoy going to the gym, because they associate negative emotions with the plan, even though they know, you know that if you just stick to the certain plan, you will get better. It just takes time. But you don't stick to it because you hate doing it, you know? And people, your mind will always want to take the path of least resistance. And if there's too much resistance, you know, you'll stop after a month of this and you won't get better. So every time you do anything, even if you get horribly rejected, find a way to frame it as a positive thing. You know, that was hilarious. That girl threw a drink in my face, which will never happen, by the way. It doesn't ever happen, but... You know, anytime something that you used to think was bad happens, frame it as a positive thing. Celebrate every little thing that happens like it was the best thing ever. It's just like train your mind to really enjoy doing this. And it actually will. Like, it works. You will start to enjoy this process. And the only people I know that have gotten really good at this have found a way to enjoy the process. Because really what's important is that you continue and keep doing it and getting experience. And, yeah, the only way to get that experience is to enjoy it as it happens. It's a really fun process. And it happens a lot faster than you think if you just keep going. You'll, like, make a little bit of progress, and then you'll have a moment where something will click, and you'll be like, holy shit, I get it now. And then everything, you'll level up, and you'll feel like you mastered a certain part of this. And it's really important when that happens to not get complacent and think like, okay, I made it now, I can attract girls. Because as soon as you get complacent and stop moving forward, you slide backwards. You can never really stay still in this. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. So if you feel like you've made it to a certain point, be happy for yourself and enjoy it, but don't be content and stop, because that's when you slide back and start falling into bad habits again. That's a really important one too. That's when you sort of fall off the wagon, so to speak. Feel like, okay, I've got I got some girls now. I've got a few girls I'm dating. Life is good. I'm going to stop trying as hard. You know, as soon as you stop trying as hard, even if you get a girlfriend and you're in a committed relationship, if you stop trying, you won't be as attractive to her and you'll lose her. I've done it too many times.
So you go out and do day game even if you have
no, no, no. I don't mean like go out and keep meeting girls if you're in a committed relationship, but, you know, keep working on yourself, you know? Like, don't think I've made it so I can stop trying to improve now. You're always going to be improving. So you're either going forward or backwards. It really doesn't work. You can't really just get to a certain level and stay there and maintain. You will find that the more you do this, the easier it gets. It's like it has a momentum that builds on itself. Just like when we walk into the bar and the first approach is tough, like to get out of your shell. But three or four people later, it's pretty easy. You get into like a flow and it builds momentum. Like your whole life works that way. So if you go out like we just did for like four nights, by that fourth night, you're going to be killing it, not even thinking about it, you know? And then if you sit at home for a week and don't talk to anyone, it's going to be really hard the next time you go out, you know? If you sit at a computer all day and you're just working and not talking to anyone, which even though this is my job, some days I'm just working and typing and writing and not talking to anyone, it can be really hard to break out of that because you have momentum in that direction, you know? So it definitely works in kind of waves of momentum, and you can really deliberately make that work for you. And it makes it easier to go approach people and break out of that if you know that ahead of time. Okay, this one's going to suck, but three people from now, it'll be fine. I know that. Like, I was telling one of you guys last night, it's like jumping in cold water. Did I tell you guys that? Maybe it was Alberto. It's really like when you jump in the ocean and it's cold and you know it's going to be cold and you're like, ah, shit, this is going to suck. And you jump in and it is cold and it sucks. But then you jump in again and it gets a little bit better. And usually by the third time, it takes me three times. By the third time you go under, you get accustomed to the water and you're swimming around and it's fine. And then after a while, you don't even want to get out of the water because it's colder out of the water. You know, your body adjusted to the temperature of the water. That's really how it is when you go out. And just as you build momentum forward in your life, like the first group you approach, just get it out of the way as soon as possible. It's just like jumping in the ocean. You know, the second one, get it out of the way, just keep going. And by the third one, it's like you're swimming and you're fine. And if you know that ahead of time, it's really easy to just look at it in a kind of unemotional way where you're like, I'm just doing this to build some momentum because I know after that I'll be fine. That works for me every time I go out. It's amazing.
Can you touch very briefly on the highlights of relationship balance and stability, just to get the gist of?
That's a good question.
I can do that.
Sure. Let me shut this.
Hello. Hey, so we're about to head over to this shisha place near the hotel. Do you want to meet us over at the hotel in a moment? Yeah, is that the one? The one that was next door, yeah. Yeah, the back was new. Yep. Yeah.
So your question is actually kind of related to what I was just saying. That, like, as soon as you get complacent and stop working at it, you fall backwards.
Yeah.
Okay. I love you.
Obviously, you're not going to improve on your skills of meeting
other women. Yeah, but
what shift do you have to make? Which skills are you then going to try?
Cool. Do you want to answer that one?
I didn't hear that last part.
For relationship balance, right? I mean, once you're in a committed relationship, you're not going to work on your skills of picking up women, on your attraction skills.
No.
So what shift of skills do you need to be working on? So, I mean, that's highlights. We don't want to go into it.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about when you get in a relationship is that there's an entirely different process for the relationship, meaning that there are stages, like a life cycle that relationships go through. And each one's different, but it drastically changes depending on whether or not you want to be awake or asleep, you know? So if you're getting into a relationship and you want to be asleep, it's a totally different environment. I'll give you that one. The asleep relationship balance is the one that I outlined in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It goes you balance out value, neediness, compliance, and power. Value is how much you're worth outside the relationship, how many people need to go through you, basically. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Outside the relationship. Your neediness is how invested you are in a relationship, meaning like how often you really think about it and stuff, and you really put in effort and thought into the relationship about the other person in particular. Usually there's the reason why it's a balance because one person has more than the other person always, you know. So you want to like map that out and figure out where you want to be, you know. Like if you have a scale and you say the left-hand side of the scale is like the line you draw, left-hand side is like having much less value and the right-hand side is having much more value, you put where you want her to be and then where you want to be in relation to her, right? So usually a lot of guys will have their value more on the, like they want to have more value, like they want to be more needed outside the relationship than the girl they're dating. Does that make sense?
No.
Meaning that if you have like a powerful position in a company, let's say, where a lot of people have to go through you, they have to like,
okay,
you know, they know who you are, they follow you, things like that. The girl, most guys want a girl that has fewer people going through her than they do have people going through them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they have less social value outside the relationship than you do. A lot of guys like that, you know?
Okay.
And a lot of girls like that combination too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But not every girl or guy does.
Okay, so you need to figure that one out from our side.
Exactly, her side and your side.
Yeah, sure.
So that being said, you balance out value, then you balance out neediness, which is how invested you want to be versus how invested you want them to be. Usually, most guys want them to be more invested than they are, right? Just in general. Invested could just mean like how much general time you think you're spending thinking about this stuff or thinking about them or how else would you call it neediness? Basically, it's called neediness because it's how much you need the relationship. You know, you usually what guys want the girl that they're dating to need the relationship more than they do. You know, so there's that. Then you map that out, put her where you want her, and then put yourself wherever that is. And then compliance, which is your priorities. So are your priorities above hers, or are hers above yours in your mind? You know, and the same thing for her. For her, are your priorities above hers? Or for her, are her priorities above yours?
Yeah, but for each priority you may have in life, that could be different, right? And that's what you're saying, you need to map out. I mean, you normally have more than one priority, or two, three, five, maybe, whatever.
No, that's not like that. Don't think specific priorities.
Okay.
Think like you want to go to, you want to have an experience tonight, and your experience is you want to go to a shishi bar, right? So you address the source of it, you don't address the indicator, right? The indicator could be compliance, but the source is power, the power shift. Does that make sense? Same thing with neediness and value. Neediness goes up more whenever your value goes down. So if your value goes down, your neediness will automatically go up, typically, you know? And if your value goes up, your neediness will automatically go down. So these are both connected as well. So if you start to see that she's really needy all of a sudden, or you feel needy all of a sudden, it's probably because there was a social value shift outside the relationship. You know, like if some other guys are interested in her all of a sudden, and they're like trying to pursue her, you may all of a sudden get really needy. You know, or your reaction may be to get not needy at all, right? And be like, fine, I'm not investing anything in this interaction, right? Because you're trying to distance yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So whenever you notice that there's a reaction or a shift in neediness or a shift in compliance, then you want to look at the adjacent parts, right? And figure out and address the source of it. Don't address the symptom. You know, it's like when you have a cough, you don't just take cough medicine. You have to take something that will fix the source of the cough. You know, otherwise it's just you treating the symptom and not the disease. You know, that's the way to have a sleeping relationship work for a long period of time, probably forever.
Why do you call it a sleeping relationship as opposed to
a waking relationship? Because in a waking relationship, you don't have ownership.
Well, you don't have a relationship. You're basically two people who just happen to be together.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't call it in the sense.
You can say it's my girlfriend or boyfriend. You can say that stuff if you want to, but you know it doesn't mean anything. You know?
Yeah.
So Kelsey and I are in that relationship because we're both waking up, you know? But once you wake up, you can't go back to like the snuggly kind of like, I mean, you can snuggle each other, not like that.
Yeah,
but like,
don't make it physical. Yeah,
yeah. So like the, you know, and as a metaphor, you don't get to be like cozy and, you know, safe in your little bed there asleep like everyone else. You have to face things ahead of time and really live in truth. And if you all of a sudden feel like you want to fuck somebody else, and she can't handle that, you have to follow your truth. You can't follow her truth, you know? But if she's awake too, she probably will be fine with that, you know? But I haven't had that desire, really, you know? Like, if I do have that desire, it's not so strong that I feel like I need to take action. Like, I don't feel inspired to take action on it. But if I ever do, I will, you know? But that probably won't happen. And I don't see it happening, at least, you know? So, anyway, it's a much more, like, realistic way of living. But in order to do that, usually you're not just both awake at the same time. Like, you're not going to... If you're walking around trying to meet an awake girl, good luck. You know, it's really rare to find someone that's awake. So that means that the process that you're talking about here is figuring out how to wake people up, which is what I do, you know? But it's a lot of work. It's so much work. It's more work to wake yourself up, though, than it is to wake someone else up.
Sure.
And before you wake up, there's nothing you can do to wake anyone else up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing else in the world that's more important than waking up yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by awake or asleep.
Okay.